So I'm going to take a little bit of different tack. When we were putting together the symposium, or at least it was approached from a research, or we could do some brainstorming or ideas. So I'm probably going to generate hopefully more questions than show real data, partly because the topic that I was assigned shown here, changing climate, changing soil changes human health. And so since we're talking about changing climate and some of the projections in the future, we don't have any real data but potential scenarios. So that's the way I'm going to approach this topic. So if you look at the landscape and soils in particular, some of the things that you've all seen this, hopefully, the Millennium Ecosystem Assessment Report, but soils provide for food, and where I'm going to just briefly touch on, but also are important for regulating climate, but disease regulation and water purification. So that comes into the human health aspects. So that's a little bit of the framework that I'm doing. I've got to watch my time here. Okay. All right. So if we talk about climate change, there's really three key variables, and I'll illustrate those that we need to look at, and there's more. But if we focus on the IPCC reports, temperature is the one of the key variables, but that what's sometimes often overlooked is changes in precipitation for the future, and then also that's also not well appreciated is the change in variability or extreme events. So I'm going to give some evidence for that or some of the projections, and then have a little bit of discussion how that might affect soils and then eventually translate to human health. Wrong button, sorry. So this is the latest report, the assessment report, AR5, that came out this last year or so, showing a couple different scenarios for temperature and precipitation. And so, as some of you know, I've worked on these reports, and I don't like the term global warming, partly because it implies the whole globe is warming, and it's not necessarily true. In fact, one of the scenarios is that over the next century, there could be, at the lower end, actually no change or even slightly cooling. But these are two different scenarios, kind of a low emissions pathway, and then RCP 8.5 is a high emission pathway. And unfortunately, we're more on track, at least going after the ICP, the RCP 8.5 pathway. So one key point here is that it's not uniform, and certainly the high latitudes are going to be warmer, but anywhere from a 0.2 degree up to almost a 10 degree C increase, depending upon where you're on the planet. So, and it doesn't show up well on my screen here, but yeah, you can see here in the U.S., we're probably looking at about a 4 or 5 degree projected under the high emission pathway. Okay, so temperatures generally warming, but it's going to be uneven. The other thing that, and I don't particularly like this version of the graph, but is on the precipitation change. Oh, where's my mouse? I don't like these mouse pads. Okay. No, that's right, because I need it. It's going to be recorded here. So, again, precipitation change, if we look at the high-end scenario, the storyline here is that the wet areas are going to get wetter and the dry areas are going to get drier. But we'll talk a little bit more about that. Sorry. But if we're looking here at the mid-latitudes, we're talking potentially 20% drier in the mid-latitude regions, and that would be from in the U.S., North America continent, translating up the Mediterranean region, and then parts of Africa, Australia, and Brazil, just in broad areas. Okay, so precipitation is going to change, and it goes from wet to dry. And I'll bring this together. And then just as an example, extreme events, and I bring this in because it's relevant to soils, is this is actually observed data. This is not even projected. So this is observed data for the U.S. out of the Third National Assessment Report, showing the trends in events of heavy precipitation. And so pretty much where we are across the United States, the trend here is that we're having more frequent or more intense rainstorm or precipitation events. And you can pick and choose where you live. Sorry, I don't have this for the globe. But again, the trend line and the projections are this is going to increase. Okay, so I point this out because then what are some of the impacts? Well, first of all, we're going to have more extreme events. Even if it's drier, but it comes in these extreme events, that's going to be have the potential for soil erosion. That affects our soil quality. If we have those more extreme events, then that's going to decrease water quality because you have more runoff, whether it's sediment or chemicals. You know, if it's right after you put on fertilizers or chemicals to agriculture soils, that means more runoff and has implications for human health as well and changing the quality of the soil. The concern is, and this is really unknown, I guess it's more a research question, what are the changes with climate change in soil functions? And I'll come back to this on the carbon issue, but a lot of people assume that it's going to be warmer, so that means you're going to have more decomposition. But if it's warmer in your dry areas, the soil is drier, you're going to have reduced microbial activity, and so it's not just a simple fact of warming. Certainly, and I'll come give a couple examples here that the questions, I guess, that there's going to be increased risk of undernutrition resulting from diminished food production in poor areas, and then potentially increased risk of food and waterborne diseases and vector-borne diseases with the climate change, and I'll get back to that. So what's pretty much clear, and this I forgot to get the reference for this one, but there's plenty of studies that have shown the potential changes in food production around the globe as a result of climate change, varying anywhere from about a 25% decrease in food production up to about a 25% increase, depending on where you are. So if you want to buy land in Canada, now's the time to do it, or Norway and Sweden, according to this projection. Well, what does that mean? Is that right now, and I think it was Sunny Raswamy that said Sunday night that we have 1.3 billion people that are undernourished, and now we're talking about climate change impacts, and we increase the population to 9.6 billion by the mid-century, is how are you going to handle that, feeding that population if those 1 billion plus are already malnourished? It's going to stress the system. And so that's going to affect human health indirectly because if they're undernourished, they're more susceptible. And just as an example is that in India, some of the projections are that India right now is self-sufficient in wheat, and by the mid-century, it will become a net importer of wheat because of the changing climate and stress for growing wheat. Well, if they have to import more wheat with a large population there, that's going to stress the entire system for wheat distribution around the world. So there's the network is very complicated. All right. So I show this slide not because I'm going to talk about carbon per se, is that it shows, this is a tool that I use in my class, is the interactions between soils, biogeochemical processes, in this case carbon, but you could put nitrogen, you could put sulfur in there. And so there's a relationship here that microbial community composition activity is a function, a key function of water, temperature, oxygen status. All right. So if we talk about climate change in the future, yes, temperature looks like it's going to warm for most part of the world, and much more so in high latitudes, in different parts of the world, middle latitudes. And then you have water relations that's also going to change. And so just because you have higher temperatures, if the change in precipitation, extreme events, or higher evaporation, you could have water stress. So it's much more complicated, and it's really driven. You know, I'm a microbiologist, so it's really controlled and driven by the microbes. And certainly some of those microbes are beneficial microbes and some of them are pathogens. And then there's the ramifications is that the microbes in a lot of the work that I do affect the aggregation soil structure. And if you change that soil community composition, you could lose the ability to retain or be resilient to that structure. So it's, again, like this talk, it's more, I'm going to generate more questions than solve any answers here. All right. And certainly from a soil standpoint and soil future degradation or aggradation, there's a strong linkage between carbon, soil structure, and microbial activity, and then they have all these ramifications. So there's a link here. If we break down change with climate, the microbial composition and its activity, could that and will that affect soil structure and carbon? And then that has implications on soil fertility, runoff, erosion potential. And so any one of these links could be broken and affect the other two. And then what I'll talk a little bit about how that indirectly could affect human health. Okay. That's right. Okay. So just Ian Pepper and I wrote a review article a few years ago looking at benefits and concerns about pathogens or organisms in the soil. So what most people think about is the negative side, those organisms that reside on the soil. And Tom, I missed your talk, and maybe you covered some of this. But some of the major ones that we're concerned about is that's listed here is bacteria, mostly spore formers, but Bacillus and Legionnaire disease, valley fever, histoplasmosis, and then brain encephalitis. There are organisms that reside in the soil. And certainly there's with climate change, there's some indication that valley fever is expanding in scope in the Southwest, reportedly due to change in climate in that. But so the question is, and nobody's really looked at this, if we change that soil environment, if we change that climate, how are these organisms going to respond? And we really don't know. At least I don't know. The other thing is that what's often overlooked is all the potential for microbes that have an impact on our human health. And this, when we put this review article together, it's been a few years now, we're talking about the antibiotics in the previous talk, about 80% of our antibiotics come from soils, and that should be nothing new to soil scientists, or at least soil microbiologists. But what surprised me is that, you know, somewhere up to 60% of our anti-cancer, anti-immune drugs are coming from natural products coming from soils. And so if we change our climate, if we degrade our soils, does that change the 95% of the organisms that we don't know anything about? Are we losing that capacity for future discovery of drugs for human health? And certainly that came out, was it last year, a new class of antibiotics that were discovered out of soils. And so what are these unknown organisms? Are we losing that future capacity that directly affect our human health? And that's, so again, it's not the incidence of disease, the pathogens, but what's the future hold for opportunities that have benefit on human health, but there's other industrial processes. Okay, so some of the questions, what am I doing? I can keep this short or long. Okay, all right. So questions are then, what are the changes in soil environment going to happen? That is, it will the environmental changes, climate change and changing soils, favor pathogens? If we have wetter environments, are we going to increase some of those pathogens that like those environments? or in the case of some of the organisms that like dry environments, that pathogens. And it's certainly in the case in IPCC that's documented, and a word of warning is that warmer winters are going to allow plant, animal, and human pathogens to survive better, at least in the colder regions like we're here in Minnesota. If we have warmer winters, that's going to allow those pathogens that normally killed by cold cycles, are they going to be able to survive those winters now and increase that disease? And there's certainly some indication that's happening now, particularly on the plant and animal side. On the change in the microbial community composition, will we lose the beneficials of the microbial community, some of that composition that are normally suppressive against those pathogens? Are we going to lose that capacity? And again, this is a question that might then allow the pathogens to survive better. Are we going to lose that future opportunity for beneficial organisms, the undiscovered organisms, their capacity? And then I guess the question is, are there key functions in soil that may be knocked out or suppressed with climate change, whether it's water or temperature changes? And we certainly know in some drought studies, long-term 10-year drought studies that we've had on native prairie, that we've changed that microbial composition. We've suppressed bacteria, we've got more fungi. We haven't looked at, you know, from a pathogen standpoint. I guess that, like I said, I wanted to generate more discussion and questions than I have answers for, partly to hold for the future, but I think it's some direction for future research. And again, from the climate assessment report, some of the warnings that they have in the U.S. report is that climate change threatens human health and well-being in many ways, that it'll amplify some of the existing health threats directly because of pathogens, but because of human stress, rather heat, food, nutrition, that the health actions, there's health actions that can be done to protect people, but it doesn't seem like that we're preparing much for the future among the health agencies. So with that, I will thank you.
Thank you very much. Okay.